This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Break is brought to you by Bluehost, one of the biggest and, I think, best companies for your website or blog. For just $6.95 per month, great price, they offer great service and great support. It's all great. Setting up your blog couldn't be easier. Just one click of a button and you can focus on your content. You never have to worry about technology. We don't like that, right? We want to be creative. So go over to sqpn.com/Bluehost for more information. And by the Amazon store, if you click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, your purchase will help support our show. And then finally, this show is also made possible by you, the listeners and the friends of SQPN. Join us in our mission to reach out to the ends of the world with engaging and inspiring programs by supporting us with a monthly donation or a one-time gift. Go to sqpn.com/donate for more information. This is The Break, episode number 874, recorded on April the 3rd, 2013. From the Simpsons to the Sacraments, from technology to theology, this show features the cool and the classical, the past and the future, the trends and the tradition. So wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, it is time for a break. Hello and welcome to another episode of The Break. The sun is shining outside, although I've got the curtains closed because I'm also streaming live and the sun is just a lot of light, you know, so it just blows out everything for the camera. And so whenever I start a show like this, I close the curtains and I don't like to do that because, you know, it's springtime. I like to see the sun and I put on the studio lights. Oh, well, that's only for an hour. It looks great outside. I mean, really beautiful. You'd think it is springtime. That is until you step outside and it is just blistering cold. It is so cold. It's like every night it's still freezing. It's below 0 Celsius, that is. And during the day, the sun tries, but it never gets beyond, you know, a couple of degrees above freezing point. Yesterday, I had to go out to do the presentation for my television show. And we went to Reinen, which is a very nice little town next to one of the big rivers in our country, the Rhine. And it's got a beautiful church. Part of the town is old and just nice. Nice background for presentation texts, and but the thing that I underestimated was how hard the wind was blowing, and I decided not to take my coat with me, so to only step outside in my usual, you know, priestly attire, thinking that I could thereby force the climate to change. It's like if I behave as if it is springtime, it will become springtime. I don't know what I don't know what came over me, but it was such a big mistake. And so I do this opening text. We went to the other side of the river, so we would have a nice view of the skyline. I'm not sure if you can call it a skyline. It's just a small town in the background. But then since the Netherlands is very flat and near the river, it's even more flat. There was this sweeping wind and it was blowing straight through me. Now, you got to imagine the scene. I'm standing with my back to the river and the town in the background, pretending that I'm not cold. And I've become very good at pretending that I'm not cold. And then in front of me, so I'm just there in my, you know, just the stuff that I wear on Sunday, right? And so in front of me, I've got this camera crew. So I've got the director, the sound man, and the cameraman, and they're all like wrapped up in these big, bulky winter clothes as if they are filming in Siberia. That's what they look like. I mean, they've got like scarves and hats and gloves and everything. And even in those clothes, they are freezing. And I'm sitting there like, good day and welcome to another episode of blah, blah, blah. And the moment it was over, I just ran to the car and dove inside. It's like, I don't want to be outside anymore. Can't we do the entire show from within the car? unfortunately, we can't. So anyway, but I hope that this little sacrifice will somehow appease whatever evil is causing this winter weather, and that we can finally get some springtime. I mean, I even preached about it last Sunday. Or no, was it a Monday? No, it was on Sunday, during Easter. So my homily was about hope. It's one of the themes that has been, I think, the strongest for me in the past few weeks, ever since the first appearance of Pope Francis. For me, he kind of embodies new hope. And yes, a new hope, a Star Wars reference. But it is true. I mean, it's a new beginning. It's a new pope. It's a different approach. And I don't know. It just gives me so much hope for the future and hope for the church and a new energy, I think. And so I knew in advance that I wanted to preach about hope. And so, of course, all the readings at Mass are about hope. It's ultimately the foundation, the heart of hope for a Christian is the resurrection of Christ. I mean, that's the ultimate hope, you know? It's like, whatever happens, even if we have to die, we can still hope that our lives are not in vain and somehow there is a future for every one of us. Whether you live on this planet for 90 or 100 years or whether, you know, you're not even allowed to be born, there is always hope for every single person on the planet. And so the readings in the Easter Vigil, which is always that's beautiful. It's such a I mean, we've got a whole bunch of readings during that vigil. I don't know, didn't count, but like six or something like that. And they basically illustrate that hope that was already prefigured in the Old Testament. It's like people, you know, with that, like the escape from Egypt, where Moses is someone who, despite the fact that from a human point of view, everything seemed hopeless, and the only thing that people could do was pray, which for a lot of other people probably was kind of like a last resort, something that, you know, if you can't really change your situation, then those poor guys, will let them pray, you know, that'll give them some. So some people regard that as totally useless. However, the readings show that God hears that prayer in desperation and wants to give his people new hope. And so Moses is like, let's go, let's leave. And God himself becomes this fiery column in the night, going ahead of them and showing them the way and then leading them even through the sea. And that's a huge boost for their faith. It's like God did hear us and he is leading us. And well, they need that hope for the next 40 years, right? Still quite a long journey home, but they have to learn to stay hopeful. And so I connected that with something that from our own personal experience. I was like, well, let's take springtime, right? It should be there. It's not there. And so we become a little bit desperate. It's like this winter will just go on and on and on. And yet we know it's not just that we believe, but we know that springtime is coming back because if we look at 2012, 2011, 2010, sometimes it took a while, but ultimately the temperatures will go up and there will be a moment where we will be barbecuing in the backyard, you know. That's so our hope is not irrational. It's based on our previous experience, and in faith it's very much like that. Throughout history, the people of God has learned that God in moments of entire desperation, complete desperation, will come to their rescue. And so their hope for the future is built upon that. And even Jesus refers to those stories in the Old Testament when he cites the prophets, you know, talking about a Messiah that would liberate people, when the Bible talks about King David. And he's like, well, you see, God didn't leave you alone. He did come to your rescue. And well, what you read there is happening right now. And God is setting people free. He is healing the sick. He is rescuing the poor and the oppressed. And he himself was the fulfillment of that hope. And so that is, for us, a reason to keep hoping. And for me, and I said this during my homily, is this is why Christians and Catholics are always hopeful. No matter what the world says, no matter what you read in the media or see on TV, or no matter how much people on Reddit will ridicule us, in the end, it should never bring us down. And one of the things that Pope Francis said in, I'm not sure, oh, it was during Holy Thursday, when he was at that prison washing the feet of these young inmates. He said, you know, never lose hope. Never lose hope, and never let someone else take that hope away from you. And to me, that resonated very strongly. I'm usually very optimistic, sometimes a bit naive, according to others. But ultimately, I think it is an attitude that I try to maintain, because it is it's built on faith. It's like, yeah, the situation might be desperate, and I might not see the moment when things turn around and the church will do better, but I do hope for the future generations that something will change and people will rediscover God. It's always been like that in history, and there's nothing that can take that hope away from me. And the same is true with people. That's another thing that Pope Francis said. He's like, if society has given up on you, to these young people in prison, I'm not going to give up on you. God doesn't give up on you. And I think it's something that we have to learn in our dealings with others. We sometimes become a bit desperate towards others. We're like, you know, that person is never going to change. Or we become hostile and we try to push people away because we feel that, well, they're just evil, right? And they're just wrong. However, sometimes when people lash out and are negative, it can come from something that we cannot judge. There might be something going on in their own personal lives or previous experiences that made them so hostile or aggressive or negative. But who am I to judge that other person? We've all had our moments where we lost hope, where we lost courage, where we were unkind. And so we have to, you know, you don't have to embrace people that are, you know, clearly trying to hurt you. And I'm sometimes using on social networks the, you know, block this person button, because, well, to protect myself, because there's only so much negativity that you can endure. I'm not Jesus. But also for the other person, you know, you don't want to give people a reason, even if it's, according to me, sometimes a wrong reason for them to lash out, but you don't want to just be that stone that makes them trip or that makes them, you know, be unkind. And I'm mentioning this because just before I started recording, I saw something on Facebook where my friend Cliff Ravenscraft reacted to an article, actually a comment that was added to an article about me, which was, you know, I'm just going to bring it up here. So this was an article on the Catholic World Report site by Jean-Paul Schimek, who I met in Rome. And he wrote a very kind article about our, you know, new evangelization efforts and new media and, you know, about me. Very, very kind. I mean, I have a hard time believing that's about me, because, you know, I'm not Superman, really. But there was one comment, or one the first comment, how do you say that, commenter? The first person who left a comment, a certain Father Jim T, and there are lots of Father Jim T's, was like, with all due respect, who would want to follow a priest blogger who, when asked about his daily life or routine, speaks about biking, blogging, reading, posting, and doesn't mention Holy Mass, the Divine Office, etc.? You know, it's Yeah, sometimes people write stuff like that, and it's I don't know this person, and I'm sure that he doesn't know me very well. If he were a listener to this show, at least if he had listened to a couple of these shows, then he might know that my life is about more than movies and biking and blogging and reading. But it's, you know, it's like I compare that with, you know, breathing or taking a shower in the morning, right? You don't go on Facebook and write, hey, I just took my daily morning shower and then I brushed my teeth and then I went on breathing for the rest of the day and I walked when I had to go from point A to point B. It's kind of, yeah, people know that already, right? I'm a human being. The same is true for a priest. You know, we pray, we celebrate Mass, we meditate, you know, we love God. It's part of the breathing aspect. Yeah, you don't go around and, you know, wasn't it Jesus who said somewhere in the Bible that if you pray, don't go on the streets and tell everybody or show everybody how holy you are? That might be risky, you know? And so, but anyway, I'm trying to defend myself now as if I feel attacked, but I don't feel attacked because I've heard these comments a lot of times. Actually, in one of my in one of the chapters of my book, I write about that, about the first reactions that I got when I started my Star Wars website. It's like, thou shalt not talk about Star Wars. Thou shalt be in church praying. You know, it's as if those two are mutually exclusive. So anyway, so Cliff came to my defense, and so did some other people in the comments. And, you know, it's I understand that people have that perception and they're worried. It's probably not a very nice way to write down that you're worried about me. I always respond, you know, if you're so worried about how I live my priestly life, well, thank you for the feedback. Why don't you pray for me? But it also makes me think, going back to the theme of hope, it's like, how do I react to other people? Am I supportive in what I say and do? And I even mentioned this in my homily. It's like I feel that God is calling us to be people of hope, and that has to become very specific. And because hope itself is just a concept. I mean, it can stay very theoretical, and it may sound very pious and deep and spiritual, but hope is ultimately, it's a verb, you know, it's something you have to do. It has to be translated in your day-to-day interactions with other people. And so to me, it is in essence, and I didn't mention this in my homily, but it is the application of the Bambi rule. And old-time listeners know what I'm talking about. It's that rule of thumb that is so helpful for me. And I keep repeating it so that I think about it whenever I want to lash out to someone and react in a negative way, or I'm mad at something, or I'm upset about something. Before, and it's something I had to learn, because I used to lash out quite a bit, and I was very hot-tempered for, well, I guess the majority of my life. It's only recently, perhaps also with age, that I'm kind of toning down a little bit and becoming a bit more mild and mature, I guess. But the Bambi rule is, if you haven't got something nice to say, it's better to not say anything at all. And sometimes it's very hard to apply that rule or to maintain it. It's like sometimes you just want to express your anger, but you always have to ask yourself, am I doing that because it will help me to get rid of that anger, to deal with my frustration, or is that really going to help the other person? And sometimes we might rationalize it and say, well, no, that the truth needs to be heard. This priest needs to know that he should not, you know, meddle with Star Wars and Harry Potter, and he should pray. And but I'd say always try to place yourself in the other person. How is this, when he or she is going to read that, what will it do to that person? Is it going to help that person to convert, to grow spiritually, or not? And if not, even if you think that there is a slight possibility that your criticism or your anger might not be perceived in the way that you intended it, and that it might actually cause the opposite effect, then it's better not to say something. It's better not to lash out. It's just better to stay friendly. I learned this from a very good friend of mine, Lisa Hendy. Lisa Hendy, Catholic mom, you know her from her website, catholicmoments.com. And I don't know when it was, but I do remember, I think it was during one of the CNMCs, the Catholic New Media conferences that we had. And I think she had a talk about, or it might have been during a forum discussion or something like that. And she said something that I will always remember. It's like, whatever people say about you, always take the high road. Always take the high road. And she gives the example herself in the way that she deals with other people. It's always respectful, always trying to find that little nugget of positivity, even if that person has nothing really positive to say. But somehow she really applies that principle of, like, take the high road, be courteous, be friendly, be kind. It's another a thing that Pope Francis said, I think it was on Palm Sunday. He it was an appeal, like, be kind. Just be. That's how simple it is. If you want to be a person who spreads hope in the world, be kind. And actually, being kind is a lot more fun than being nasty. Just try it out. I did, and I can tell from personal experience that being kind, it's not so bad. All right, with that, wow, this is almost like a, how do they call that during these talk shows? Like a monologue at the start of the show? Only without jokes, but hey, we'll talk about our regular ingredients. And no, I'm not going to talk about the divine office or about mass or about praying the rosary, because I'm also not going to talk about taking my shower in the morning and breathing, if you don't mind. All right, so we're just going to talk about movies and video games and geek stuff and all the other cool things that, yes, are not the core of the things, but they make life fun, right? So that's why I talk about it. You're listening to The Break with Father Roderick on SQPN.com. I am so glad that my website is hosted with Bluehost. I've got my personal blog, fatherroderick.com, at Bluehost. And just before the start of the conclave, I posted an article that I wrote where I gave a list of all the cardinals that are on Twitter. And there are quite a few of them that have a Twitter account. And of course, you know, leading up to the conclave, everybody is trying to figure out more about these cardinals, and one of them might be the new pope. So how cool is it if you're already following the new pope on his Twitter account? Well, the thing is, that post, that article got retweeted and reposted and linked to by a lot of people, which caused huge traffic on that website to that one article. Now, if I had been paying for that bandwidth myself, if I had not been with Bluehost, then the bill would be quite high. So instead, that's the advantage of that flat fee idea of Bluehost. You know, they just scaled up the server, and there was a moment where the website got really slow because it got bombarded by so many requests for information. However, the cool thing is, you know, they will notice that spike, and then even if they can't manage it by kind of offloading some of that traffic, so they have, like, what they call load balancing on all those servers, they will just put you on another server. And so there is always this uptime that you don't have to worry about, not to mention that you don't have to pay for all that bandwidth that your website is taking up. So now this is shared hosting. It's different from what we have with our sqpn.com website, which is on a specific server. But which, of course, is even more responsive. However, what's the difference? With my Bluehost account, I pay $6.95 for my blog. $6.95, flat fee. For our SQPN server, we pay hundreds of dollars every month. And not to mention that we have to pay for our bandwidth. So if we somehow get linked to by a big website and we go over our allotted bandwidth, then we will have to pay extra. And, well, it's risky. Now, we know we have a good deal for the SQPN website, but it's something that on a personal level, I just wouldn't want to take the risk. So that is why I recommend Bluehost. It's for many other reasons as well, but it's just a really great little sandbox in which you can build your own website, get experience with blogging, and if you get really popular and really, let's say, you generate a lot of traffic, then it's because it's working with all these standards like WordPress and just all the standard database stuff, it's very easy to migrate your website to, let's say, a dedicated server or to any other place on the web. So that's why I recommend Bluehost. If you want to start a project, then I'd say start with Bluehost. Not to mention that if you do that and you go through our link on sqpn.com/Bluehost, you signing up will actually also help SQPN because we get a little reward for pointing people to Bluehost. But you know, I'm not supporting Bluehost just because of that. It's because I'm just a happy customer and I want to pass it on. So there you go. That's my plug of the day. Go to sqpn.com/Bluehost. Welcome back to The Break with Father Roderick. It is time for our weekly movie and TV segment. And I just watched a movie this morning to be able to review it here on The Break. And I'm so glad I finally have some time to do that. I have this flat fee subscription to my local movie theater. And I looked in my agenda the entire month of February. I've been paying without seeing one single movie. It's, of course, because of the conclave and the new pope, but I just didn't have time to watch a movie. So this week, I'm actually taking it easy. I rescheduled some stuff, and I'm doing this episode of The Break almost because it gives me energy. It doesn't cost me much energy. I just like talking to you guys. But all the other commitments, I kind of pushed them away just to get a bit of a downtime. I feel that if I don't take it easy and I don't sleep a little bit more and just, you know, walk away from all the obligations, then I don't know if I will make it till the summer. So this morning I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch a movie and then I'm going to review it on The Break. So here is the official trailer of this movie. It's a fairy tale movie called Jack the Giant Slayer.
3, 4, 5. Ask not whence the thunder comes, for between heaven and earth is a perilous place, home to a fearsome giant race, who hunger to conquer the mortals below, waiting for the seeds of revenge to grow.
I saw your light and I'm lost.
What are you doing out in this nasty weather?
Your Highness.
These your books?
My father used to read that to me.
I like a good adventure.
I'm looking for an adventure of my own.
What?
Isabel!
Am I dead?
Not just yet.
The legends are true. Elmont, assemble a team of your best men.
Yes, sire.
Bring back my daughter.
Your Majesty, I want to volunteer.
What do you suppose is up there?
I never suppose, I simply prepare for everything.
At last, mankind have returned.
They're uglier than I remember.
Our mission is to find and return the princess.
Tomorrow, you shall return below with me as your new king.
Are you mad?
I'm talking to giants at the moment.
Jack, you're here.
I had this, Jack. I had this.
Are you ready, my brother?
Let's cut a few of them down to size, shall we?
Another way out of here.
Make everything sound so simple.
Simple farm boy.
Not at all.
Who are you?
It's Jack! Ready?
That worked out better than I expected.
So it's another movie based on a fairy tale that seems to be all the rage recently. And this one, of course, is based on the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which was one of the fairy tales in the big Reader's Digest fairy tale book that I had as a child. Very thick, like 500, 600 page a fairy tale book that I read every evening. And there were a lot of stories that I just read over and over again. I think fairy tales actually got me into reading. And from there, I went on to, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and The Wizard of Oz and just all. But a lot of the stories, and that's still true today, were fantasy stories and science fiction stories. And I think it's because I started reading, and I my love of stories comes from fairy tales. Jack and the Beanstalk was one of the smaller stories in the book. It's actually a very simple story. And it wasn't one of my favorites. It wasn't one of the worst. There were some of these Northern European stories, like, what was it, The Little Mermaid and some others, that were very tragic, at least in their original versions. Of course, we now know mostly the Disneyfied versions, which usually have a happy ending, but some of these stories were really sad and tragic. I didn't like those. This was kind of like a middle of the road fairy tale. It was okay. It was kind of simple. It's just this boy, you know, plants a bean and creates a big beanstalk, and he climbs up to the thing in the clouds, and then there are some giants there that want to eat him. And the thing is, this movie, in the trailer, promises that if you think you know the story, you don't know Jack. Well, of course, that's a play on the name of the protagonist. But it does seem to imply that the story is going to be turned upside down, a little bit like what they do in Once Upon a Time, which is a TV series based on the premise of you think you know the fairy tale, but here's what we do. We take the fairy tale, tear it apart, put it back together in a totally different way, turn it upside down, and then we will still tell you a good story. The problem with Jack the Giant Slayer is that that's actually not what's happening. It's still a very classic fairy tale, just told as a big budget movie. It is brought to us by New Line Cinemas, which is, I think, they brought us The Lord of the Rings. And it has a lot of the quality of a New Line production, especially the CGI, the giants. It's a 3D movie. And, oh, I was so stupid. I forgot. That's how long I've not been to the movies. I forgot both my 3D glasses and my regular glasses. And so I had to sit up. I first had to get myself a new pair of 3D glasses. And then I was sitting, like, very close to the screen so I could still see what was going on. And, it's just another indication that I'm a little bit too tired. So the 3D is good. It's okay. I mean, it's. I'm not sure if it's if the production was filmed in 3D or whether it is post production. Most of these movies nowadays are turned into 3D afterwards. But it wasn't bad. I've seen worse. Harry Potter. Okay. So, but the story itself, the protagonists, step by step, it was classic movie formula. It was very well. We talked about tropes the other day in my review of that movie that I blanked out of my memory because it was so bad. What was it again? Oh, Battleship. This movie too. Well, it's not as bad as Battleship. Actually, it's quite okay. It's entertaining, although it seems to be geared to a younger audience, definitely not children. It's too violent for that. But that might actually be one of the problems. I think it is aiming to the target audience of teenagers, but it's not enough of a teenage movie. The heroes are a bit too old, I think, for that. I don't know. But it doesn't work for adults either. It's because the movie's just basically a fairy tale, and there's some, especially the first part of the movie was a bit too much for children. I was a bit bored. It's like, come on, let's get going, you know, surprise me, do something. And it's just the last, let's say, 25% of the movie where it got a little bit better, and there's just this big battle, and, you know, it's well done, but even that was a bit generic. And yeah, we've seen it. And everything in a movie was predictable. There was not one single moment where I was surprised or like, wow, I didn't see this coming, or I didn't think the story would go this way. No, actually, it was like, oh, yeah, I thought that would happen. Oh, of course. Yeah, that's why you had that bean. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, wrapped up nicely. So, I don't know. Perhaps I'm a little bit too critical nowadays, but I'm sure that as a 16-year-old, I might have enjoyed this movie quite a bit more than I did now. I mean, it wasn't bad, but this is one of those movies, and this doesn't happen often. But it was a movie where I took out my cell phone to see how long it would still go on. And that, to me, is a bad sign. If I can't contain myself anymore, it's like, oh, 15 more minutes. Okay, I think I can make it till the end. That is not a good sign. So, you know, and it had a couple of great things. The music was nice, a bit John Williams-like. I liked it. The special effects, as I said, were nice. The acting is okay. I mean, there's a bad guy, which is played by Tucci. And I was like constantly thinking, who is this bad guy? I know him. Who is he? And then in the credits, I was like, oh, of course, that's the guy from The Devil Wears Prada. And he does a good job. Let's see, what's his name? Stanley Tucci. So he's the he plays King Roderick, or not King Roderick, or but the Prince Roderick or something like that. It's like, yeah, Roderick always seems to be the name for bad guys. And so the Jack and Isabel are the main protagonists, and she's a princess and he's a farm boy. Well, it's so generic. And then, of course, they are in love, but their dad doesn't like that because, you know, a princess shouldn't marry a simple farm boy. But then again, of course, the farm boy will redeem himself so that he will be worthy. There was one surprise, and that was the character of Elmont, who is just a knight working for the king. And at first, I didn't recognize the actor. I was like, I know this guy. Who is it? Who is it? And it clicked when there was a line, and they're climbing the beanstalk to go to the giants. And then the actor, Elmont, the character Elmont, says, I don't know about you, but I've got a very bad feeling about this. And I was like, it's Ewan McGregor! It's Obi-Wan Kenobi! Star Wars reference! That was the only moment that I was like, oh, this is cool. Unfortunately, it was the only really surprise. Minor surprise, but still, I appreciated it. Another Star Wars character or actor that was in it was Warwick Davis, who I am a great fan of. Warwick Davis, he plays the Ewok, what's his name? That Ewok. And he was only 17 years old at the time. And he's been in countless movies. I mean, he played in almost every episode of the Harry Potter movies. He's the actor who plays Willow, which, by the way, just came out on Blu-ray. And if you've never seen Willow, it's worth it. It's a George Lucas movie. And it's actually quite good. It holds up well. At the time, it was quite revolutionary. The special effects were cutting edge. It was the first movie to use morphing, which was all the rage afterwards, you know, where one animal or creature will morph into something else, and the computer calculates all the in-between, you know, changes from one state to another, which at the time was costing so much money and horsepower in terms of the calculations for that. But and I recently listened to a podcast, which I highly recommend, by the way, where they did an interview with Warwick Davis about his film career. And so Warwick is in this movie, which is a very simple role, not too interesting. But the podcast is a podcast, movie podcast from the Empire, UK-based Empire magazine. It's a movie magazine, and I'm trying to find it here in my browser. So I think you have to look for Empire magazine, or if you go to iTunes, look for Empire podcast, and it has the artwork of a of popcorn. And so they did a like an hour-long interview, and I love this podcast because they bring you up to speed with the latest movie news, but they have these specials where they will talk with people from the industry, either a director or an actor or a screenwriter. Another reason to check out this podcast is that in one of the, I think this was towards the end of last year, they did an hour and a half long interview with Philippa Boyens. She is the writer, one of the writers for The Hobbit trilogy, and she talks about the transition from the movie, from the book to the movie, and how the decisions that they made. It's a fascinating interview, so interesting, and I learned so much about movie making just by listening to those interviews. They're very much in depth, and it's British, so it's like quality. It's very well done. It's got a lot of humor. So check out that interview with Warwick Davis, and then that will give you probably an impetus to go check out the Willow Blu-ray. So anyway, Warwick Davis is in there. Did I mention that I met him a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away? That's also, I'm not sure if it's in my book, but I do write about the event during which I met him. It was the first Star Wars celebration in Denver. And we were waiting in line. And then he just stopped by. He was there with his family. One of his children had just been born. And he's just the nicest guy. Great humor, great sense of humor, and happily married, which is kind of nowadays it's almost something special if you have an actor who's just happily married. It seems to me that is so rare nowadays, but it goes to show that there is hope. So anyway, that was my little update on Jack the Giant Slayer. It's directed by what's his name? Bryan Singer, who is also a director that normally I like a lot. He brought us The Usual Suspects. That's kind of his breakthrough. He produced Superman Returns. He did Valkyrie, which I still haven't watched. X-Men First Class. And more importantly, House MD. He was the one who came up with the whole concept for House MD, House being a doctor who was actually behaving more like Sherlock Holmes. Great series. Almost wrapped up the final season. Still love it. And so now he did Jack the Giant Slayer, but it wasn't as good as his previous work. I don't know. For some reason, it feels to me a movie that everybody was enthusiastic about. It was like, of course, this can't go wrong. You know, it has all the right ingredients. The only thing that they left out was a bit of magic, a bit of surprise, and it actually breaks the movie for me. That was my review, and then I saw some trailers in 3D, which was always cool. One of which was the trailer and I didn't know this movie was going to be in 3D. Man of Steel. It's the Superman remake, or I don't know if it's a reimagining or whatever. It's I'm not sure if I'm going to like this movie. It looks good, very different from anything else we've seen, but also very dark. And, well, you know what I thought of the Batman movies, the latest trilogy, especially the last one, where for me it was too dark. I don't know. It's over the top for me. It's probably me because there are I know a lot of people love that third Batman movie, but I didn't like it at all. And I'm a bit worried that they will take the Superman story and make it too dark. For me, again, Superman was about hope. It was about, you know, this guy who's almost like a metaphor of Jesus in a way, even though he was imagined originally by Jewish writers. But he definitely has a messianic flavor to him. And I'm just afraid that they will make everything too dark and too ambiguous. And I think this time needs heroes. And I'm a little bit done with all the grayness and all the brooding, depressing stuff. I don't know. Might just be me. I'm too optimistic for these movies. But then again, I didn't know the movie was going to be in 3D. I have a strong feeling that this, again, is post-production 3D. It didn't look good at all. It looked very flat. It reminded me, actually, of the last two Harry Potter movies, that kind of 3D, where you're like, am I really watching 3D or is it just flat? Is it just 2D? Oh, no, wait, there is something in the foreground. Oh, now it's not anymore. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's going to be good. A movie that looked spectacular in 3D, so spectacular that when the trailer started, I thought it was a new movie. It's like, wow, what is this? Cool. Wait, what? It was Jurassic Park. And so the first Jurassic Park movie has gotten the 3D treatment, but I think it's done by the same company that did the 3D remake of The Phantom Menace, which was, no matter what you think of Jar Jar and the rest of the movie, but the 3D was mind-blowingly good. It was the best 3D I've seen, including Avatar. And it shows me that if it's done with love, if it's done with, you know, a really good crew that knows what they're doing, it can actually add, sounds cliche, it adds a new dimension to the movie. And seeing Jurassic Park in 3D, and it's a movie that I dearly love. It's a movie that I will always associate with Rome, because I watched the second Jurassic Park movie on this, I think, in the same weekend that I arrived in Rome. And I watched it in Italian. Thank goodness the dinosaurs weren't talking in Italian. But I still remember, it was almost as if I was in a new city and everything was a bit scary and overwhelming. But being back on that island with the dinosaurs made me feel very much at home. It's hard to explain. Anyway, but whenever I think of Jurassic Park, I think of Rome, and that's why I like it so much. So it's another reason to go watch it in 3D. And again, it looked fantastic. And it's like, it's hard to believe that the movie originally was not shot in 3D. That's how good it is. Now, speaking of other 3D movies, The Hobbit, the second movie, is now in full post-production. There was a live event, and I missed it because it was right before Easter, and I think you needed to have a code, an access code that you got if you bought the Blu-ray. But, you know, I'm not going to buy the Blu-ray now. I'm going to wait for the extended edition. The current Blu-ray is fine. It's great. But it's just a movie, and it has all the web videos that I've already seen. So there's not much there for me to enjoy. And don't forget that I've seen the movie, I think, what was it, 4 times in the theater. So I'll wait for the extended edition. So I didn't see that live thing, but there are some excerpts on YouTube that you can watch. And it's really cool. You get some glimpses of scenes that were shot for the second movie, and Peter Jackson explains the editing process and the motion capture, and it's I think it's great, and it's another way in which they, of course, try to drum up support and interest for the second Hobbit movie, which I'm really looking forward to. The next Hobbit movie, the third one, is being delayed just a few months. They were first going to release this in the summer of 2014, and now it's going to be released, I think, towards the end of 2014. Not a problem for me. I think it's great. We get some extra time to enjoy this this Tolkien universe. And then I also heard that they are going to make sequels to Independence Day, which is abbreviated as ID4. It's a popcorn movie, but one that I really enjoy a lot, and I've watched it countless times. The next two sequels will not feature Will Smith, but they do feature his son, I think. But some of the other actors are back And can't wait to see what they do with that movie. I love the grandeur of that movie. Independence Day was one of those old-fashioned, big-budget blockbusters that you just, you know, it is, that movie is like a box of popcorn. You can't get enough of it. Yeah, it's my guilty pleasure. It's probably not going to be very interesting in terms of character development or storytelling or values or whatever, but it's just going to be fun to get a movie with aliens and humor. All right, that's it for the movie and TV segment. It is time to talk about...
I'm going to get into shape.
Whatever you say, sweetie.
No, I mean it. I'm really serious this time.
I'll step over to the Abdominator, and I will shout slogans at you.
The Abdominator.
Harder. Go past the max. Reach over the top.
Oh, I've got to keep trying. Oh, I'm feeling this.
What have you done to your stomach and your chest?
I have been working out secretly at night, and look at me now.
The Abdominator. Well... I need to get into shape. I'm serious. One of the downsides of having worked so much for the past 3 months is that I didn't give myself enough time to stay in shape. The bad weather, the winter temperatures also contributed to it. But I know all that is, there are excuses for not paying attention to what I eat, how much I eat, and how little I move. So... starting today, I'm back into calorie counting. I know I've done this before. I know the drill. It's not fun, but it does work. And I need to shed some pounds. And I want to start running again. So I'm slowly gearing up. I did, however, go to the gym and I canceled my subscription. The reason is, well, there are two reasons, actually. I had like a one-year subscription, which was quite affordable. But then, once the one-year subscription is over, they put me on another monthly subscription fee, and they jacked up the price like 30% or 25% or 30%. And, you know, it's a little bit too much. It's like I don't like to have all these monthly fees. And the second reason is I hardly have time to go there. And the thing with the gym is I want to work out on Saturdays, on Sundays in the afternoon when Mass is over. Yeah, you see, I mentioned Mass. So, but then the gym is closed, and I understand because those people have a life as well and a family. So it's usually and when I go there, or when I went there because I haven't been there for a while, I'm mostly going there to be able to run when it's raining. And every time it's raining, there are a lot of other runners that do the same. So they have 4 treadmills, and they're always occupied. And then I have to wait for an hour or sit on a bike, like stationary bike, for an hour, and then finally someone steps off, and I don't know. I like the fact that a gym offers more variety than I can have with just running, but it was just all, if I just look at the entire, you know, what do I get out of it? Not that much. So I went ahead and canceled the subscription. And as soon as the temperature goes up, I will be running again. I'll just go back to the same old formula, which I still love. There were moments where I woke up and I opened the curtains, and it's like, I so want to go out running. I love running. By the way, third plug of my upcoming book. I have an entire chapter about health and holiness, and I talk about running. And I wrote a part about what I learned spiritually from running, how my prayer life actually benefited from the discipline that you need to prepare for a marathon. There you go. I talked about praying. Ka-ching! I do talk about these things every once in a while in between all the silliness. The only thing I don't look forward to is that I have to build it up again, because you can't go out and run for an hour without injuring yourself. So I'll have to go through the first 3 or 4 weeks of like slowly following the schedule, not overdoing it. I hope that springtime will help me a little bit. And there's another reason that I want to go back to running. It helps me find my balance. I just noticed after Easter, I was so tired. And just not just physically tired, but also spiritually, mentally tired. Just having that constant weight of all the obligations and all the commitments is, I normally can handle that very well, but after Easter, like, I'm drained. I need a vacation, but I can't go on vacation because, as you know, one of the two priests for 10 churches, I always have to be here in the weekends, and during the week I've got my TV obligations. So this week is actually quite exceptional, and I had to move heaven and earth to free up 3 or 4 days, and that's the maximum time. It's not enough to recover. But I know that if I am out running and I can't just have that hour every day where I'm doing physical exercise and I can just soak up the sun, it does help to keep that balance, and I will not get as stressed as I am if I'm just working day and night. So it's time for priorities again. Time for some healthy cooking as well. So I'm started watching the latest season of MasterChef Australia, and that always inspires me to put some effort again into cooking, which is another thing that I haven't done for a while. So I won't be using the Abdominator anytime soon, but I will get back into shape. That's absolutely guaranteed. Let's talk about geek stuff.
10 years ago, I didn't believe in the internet, and yet I'm downloading a chili recipe as we speak.
Computers can do that?
To start, press any key. Where's the any key? I see esc, catarl, and pigup.
There doesn't seem to be any key.
I'm pretty sure that by now you've heard that Google is shutting down some of the services that they created in the past because they want to refocus. Well, I can understand that a company needs focus, but on the other hand, it's because Google is so big, even the smaller things that they do still concern a lot of people. One of the services they want to shut down is Google Reader, which was the de facto RSS news reader for a lot of people. It's how I consume my news. I'm subscribed to a lot of feeds from news outlets from different categories, whether it's sports or movies or geek stuff or just regular news. And the Google Reader account is connected to I always forget the name of that program. Hold on. I'm just going to look it up. I'm getting old. Flipboard. Why doesn't that name ever stick? I don't know. I never can remember Flipboard. So Flipboard uses my Google Reader account to give me my personalized magazine. By the way, Flipboard has now a very cool feature where you can start making your own magazines and then distribute them. I was tempted to do something, but then I was like, it's more work. That's not. I'm doing enough. But Google is shutting down Google Reader, I've started using another service called Feedly, which was really nice, and actually, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Feedly, just you enter your Google Reader account, and it will basically go look at all your feeds and integrate them in your new Feedly account. It has applications for all the mobile devices. So I have the Feedly Reader on my iPad, and I like it actually better than Flipboard. I don't know why it is. The browsing is faster, and it's a little bit more. It's probably because Flipboard is based on also on my Facebook account and on my Twitter account. So there's more noise in there and a lot of content that I'm not really interested in. I mean, it's what my target, what my followers are interested in, which is not sometimes or oftentimes it's what I'm also interested in, but oftentimes it's also not the case. So Feedly, to me, that would be my tip of the week. If you are a Google Reader user, go check out Feedly. I think it's really well done. Facebook versus Twitter. I'm starting to use Facebook more and more, and I'm using Twitter less and less. I wonder if I'm the only one. for me, Twitter is something I look at 3-4 times a day maximum. And then I just look at the tweets that are up there at that moment, but I don't go back into that timeline and scroll down and look at all the tweets that have been posted. So, and I kind of think, and I'm not even following that many people, just a couple of hundred, but I've got the feeling that more people are in the same situation and hardly look at Twitter anymore, which makes it less interesting for me to use it to share. I will continue to do that, and I've just celebrated my, what was it, 7th Twitter birthday. So I've been on Twitter for quite a while now. But I don't know, it's not my social medium of choice anymore. Facebook is really the place where I'm having much more fun. It's like posting photos or a little video. I recorded an Easter message out when I came back from my second mass, and it was snowing, and it was like, oh, let's just say hi to the followers and you know, wish them a blessed Easter, which is what I did. Posted it on Facebook, and you get so much interaction and so much more fun. Whenever I go film outside in the cold near a river where I'm like standing there in my summer clothes, frozen, I post them on Facebook, and it's a fun way to share. I even forgot to say that we had a meeting on the second day of Easter with my parents and my nephews and niece. So we went on another Easter egg hunt, which was a lot of fun. And took some photos. And I'm still waiting for my mom to email them to me so I can post them on Facebook. But in a way, Facebook is much more natural for me. And I get a lot of inspiration from Facebook as well. And it's changing the way people use it. And nowadays, there are a lot of interesting videos in my Facebook timeline, or inspirational posters, or articles, links to articles. And to me, it has become more and more a source of information and inspiration. And it's something that is not just like, hey, look at the sandwich I just ate. It's to me, it's really a very much a place where I can find stuff that will make me think, that will make me pray, that will make me laugh. In short, it's a great place to be. So, well, just my thoughts. I wonder if I'm the only one who is kind of abandoning Twitter a little bit. But there might be people in my audience that are like, no, Twitter is where I live, and I don't care much about Facebook. Or I live on Google+. You know, we can start a conversation about that. Let me know what your network of choice is and where you hang out. And we might not hang out on Facebook forever. Actually, I'm pretty sure we will not be. We will all be somewhere else in a couple of years from now. But right now, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. All right, some final house cleaning stuff. An update on the SQPN radio program project. You know that I've been in talks with this company, software company, that is making this awesome radio software. And I'm talking to a guy who will help us set up the studio equipment. We did a short fund drive last year to get the necessary funds. I think it will just be enough to kind of set it up in terms of the technology and the software. It's going to be a whole different matter to maintain it. And for that, I'm still hoping to be able to hire a second producer. But it will depend on if we can find the support, the financial support from our listeners to do that. I just wanted to mention it to let you know that we're still working on it. I'm still working on it. And it's going to be a major project now that the Conclave, which was kind of a side project that just materialized in front of our eyes and we couldn't do anything about it. But now that that is kind of behind us and over, we can refocus again on making that a reality. I'm very excited about it because I think it will not only be a way to repurpose our content to another target audience in a different way, but I also think it will help us to produce more and a different kind of programs, more streamlined, more... Not streamlined in, let's say, more like radio, but I do think it will just having an ongoing channel open to the world is going to be very motivating for a lot of us podcasters. But anyway, I'll tell you more about that in the upcoming weeks. And then we also had a lot of questions about the CNMC, and people are like, when is the next CNMC going to be? Is there going to be a CNMC? Well, here's the situation. As you know, we lost our director last year, Steve Nelson, who is now working, you could say, as a lay missionary in Papua New Guinea. That also changed a lot for us because, you know, as a full-time director, he was doing a lot of work. So originally we wanted to do a CNMC in Denver, kind of concurrently with the Catholic Press Association. But because of the lack of, let's say, organizational power right now, and because it was quite short term, we decided to, well, we do participate in the CPA meeting, but we will not do a CNMC then and there. It's just too early and we need a little bit more time. Currently, we are in talks with a diocese to set up a CNMC in the second half of 2013. That will give us some more time. We know that there's going to be almost an instant audience there. So I'm excited about that. The diocese is excited about the idea. And I like that we can do that together. So it won't just weigh on us as a small, tiny organization, but we can do this with partners, and you know, I think it's going to be great. So, but that's going to be in the second half of 2013. So, basically after the summer holidays. So, just in case you're wondering, there is going to be a CNMC. It might be a bit different in approach, but you know, there will be a meeting about new media, but. We take a little bit more time to put it together because we want it to be good and not rushed. Now, there's going to be actually a second CNMC, and that one is going to be on the other side of the planet, literally. It's going to be in Australia, and I'm in talks with the people from the 15th Station podcast, Gavin Abrams and James Bergen, and we want to organize a CNMC there too because there's a lot going on there. And we want to galvanize that. We want to bring those people together, get the enthusiasm going. Now, that is going to be a smaller scale CNMC, a bit more like the first ones that we organized. And it's because it's our experience that the first thing you need to do is just to bring people together. And then the Holy Spirit will start to work and it will grow from there. But we need to start just simple, you know, just do something, organize a CNMC. So again, that too is going to happen in the second half of 2013. And I'm currently thinking about combining a visit to Australia with a short visit to New Zealand. And I'm kind of like brainstorming about, can I do something with The Hobbit? Because there's still two Hobbit movies coming up. Can I do like a documentary about Tolkien or something like that, filming on the Southern Island? But it's still in a very early stage, and well, I've learned from my regular television job that these kind of projects are quite big, so you need to know exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it and for who you are doing it. But I want to push myself this year to make at least one documentary. I'm very encouraged by the feedback on the stuff that I did in Rome. It was a huge motivator and a confirmation that I think I should continue to do this video stuff. I like it. It's fun. It has a totally different effect than the audio stuff. So New Zealand, The Hobbit, filming. I think it could work. Anyway, that's not for now. I will keep you up to date. Most important thing for me right now is to just take some time to sleep, to become fit again, and just stay calm, and then let God do the rest. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Break. Go over to sqpn.com for all our other shows. And if you still want to chip in and support our Lenten giving campaign, which we're currently wrapping up, as you can imagine, it's not too late yet to contribute, and we can use all your help. So if you're not yet a monthly sponsor, you can sign up for something as low as $5 a month. And if enough people do that, you will help us build the future with Catholic New Media. Or a one-time gift. Thank you so much for your support, for your prayers, for your kindness. I love being part of this community, this worldwide group of friends, and I'm glad you're part of it as well. Thanks for listening. See you next week. God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic New Media.